The views and comments expressed on the Space Show by its guests, callers, and listeners belong to them. The Space Show and its hosts serve only as a platform and are not responsible for others' comments or views. All topics discussed on the Space Show are primarily for educational purposes.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other thing.
It's
the Space Show with Dr. David Livingston, broadcasting to seven continents, consistently bringing you quality news and interviews with the best and brightest minds in the new space economy. Here is the founder and host of the Space Show, the man who best articulates the vision of space commercial enterprise, Dr. David Livingston.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a very special Thursday night edition of the Space Show. I am your host, David Livingston. Thank you very much for tuning in. And we do have a special edition for tonight. I'll get to that in just a minute. A couple of quick announcements. We're using the 60-minute format again tonight. So please, if you do want to get a question or a comment in or talk with Ed Wright, who is our primary guest, do so while we're still on the air, so pay attention to the time, please. Also, we have a program, our usual Friday morning program tomorrow, and you can read about it on the Space Show website newsletter or upcoming menu. And then we also have a regular Sunday Space Show program also. So it's pretty much a normal time, although next week we've added a special Thursday show as well with Dennis Wingo. But all of that will be on the newsletters that we prepared this weekend. For those of you who do want to call in and talk with Ed Wright tonight, it is 1-866-687-7223. And you can also use email drspace, D-R-S-P-A-C-E, at thespaceshow.com. Plus, you can post on our blog, which is thespaceshow.com. all the way to the far right for the upcoming show menu. And this is the first program listed. Open it up, and comments and questions are down at the bottom, as this is a blog page for this particular program. And as soon as you hit send or post, I hope we didn't lose our guest, but as soon as we hit send or post, we will be able to get your question and integrate it into the air. Everything we do is archived. You can listen right off of our website, or you can really quickly download the program. There's a store, and if you want Space Show paraphernalia, just click on any of the Pepper Listening to the Space Show pictures on our website. And Pepper,
if you'd like to make a call.
Well, that's quick. He's on a cell phone. I'll have to call him back, and I'll do that in just a minute. So if you want Space Show paraphernalia, the Pepper Listening to the Space Show will take you directly to our Cafe Press store site. Let me finish up here by saying, to me, the most important is supporting the Space Show. We are a 501c3 nonprofit with one, O-N-E, GiantLeapFoundation.org. And it is your support that keeps us going. And we're into the second half of the year. And your support is really vital. I don't know any other way to say that. So remember, if you're a California taxpayer or a federal taxpayer, you get a tax deduction for your gift, as we are a 501c3 nonprofit. If you have any questions, visit our nonprofit website, onegiantleapfoundation.org, or simply email me at drspace@thespaceshow.com. And in addition, we do have sponsors, and they get the banner ad running across our homepage. So if you do see those banner ads, click on them from time to time. The people change their messages behind those banner ads. And, of course, they can change the banner as often as they want as well. On the shorter programs like tonight, the 60-minute format, we simply thank our sponsors. But on the longer programs, we read a full promotional message. So I do want to thank Northrop Grumman, the Space Foundation, Moonwards, AIAA, the Space Development Network, Celestis, the National Space Society, and the Space Plan, as they're in Kickstarter right now working on funding their new Space Plan, which will have new additions from SpaceX and others in it. You can access their Kickstarter by clicking on our banner ad or just going to their website, thespaceplan.com. Let me introduce Ed, and then I'll get him back on the phone. So Ed Wright is a senior researcher at the Space Studies Institute, and they're having their 50th anniversary conference, SSI 50, the Space Settlement Initiative. It is in Seattle at the museum there. We're going to talk about that tonight. And the Space Studies Institute website is ssi.org. And there will be a way for you to go directly to the convention website. I'll let Ed tell you how to do that. He is the former VP of ProSpace America, founder of Citizens in Space, founder and chairman of the U.S. Rocket Academy, and founder and president of Starbase Operations, LLC. He was responsible for the development of the Lynx Cub payload carrier and Lynx Cub ultra-high definition planetarium camera center system. He was a science mission specialist on test flights that demonstrated the use of modified L-39C jet trainer to simulate approach and landing for the X-Core Lynx spacecraft. Due to the contributions of commercial space, he was awarded the rank of admiral in the Texas Navy by Governor Rick Perry. So we're happy to have Ed back with us. So everybody sit tight. And you're going to hear dead air for a minute as I connect Ed back up to the program. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Good evening again, listeners, and I'm the host of the Space Show, which is the evening program. I see a couple of people said they're sending me messages. This is really weird. I don't know if this is something about the show tonight or not. I'm not sure what this is. Oh no, this is advertisements. They sent me a tricky headline. Ed Wright is with us, and hopefully we will not dump the phone again. Ed, so you've been introduced. The Space Studies Institute and the 50th anniversary convention has been introduced. The people know the website, ssi.org. So welcome back to the show. How are you doing tonight?
Just fine.
And just hold on to that line. We talked about the conference once before a couple of months ago, but now you're into the last leg. So why don't you update us, tell us where we are with speakers, hotel, because I know it took a while to isolate some hotels that were nearby where the Seattle Museum is, where the event's being held. So reintroduce us to the conference, okay?
All right. Well, it's a two-day conference. It's called SSI 50. The Space Settlement Enterprise. This marks the 50th anniversary of Gerard O'Neill's High Frontier Vision of Space Settlement. And we are basically rebooting the entire space settlement idea. We're taking the O'Neill vision and we're going back and we're re-examining every aspect of it, updating everything to bring it in line with the new technology, the new knowledge of solar system resources, the new capabilities in the commercial space world, all these things that have developed in the last 50 years. So this meeting in September will be our kickoff for that. It's at the Museum of Flight in Seattle, Washington. Great world-class venue. It's September 9th and 10th, Monday and Tuesday. So it's the start of the week. You know, you can fly in over the weekend and you know, not have to take an entire week off to travel. You know, if you want to come in early Sunday, you can tour the museum, you know, see all the displays. It's, you know, one of the best aerospace museums in the world, right up there with the Smithsonian. And we're going to have a very exciting two-day presentation with six panel sessions. We're have a lot of participation from industry as well as NASA, even DOD is taking part. And it's really going to be a very exciting event.
Tell us about, can you tell us a little bit about each day? And you also have luncheons. Do you also have dinner or evening programs too?
We are working on putting together a off-the-record executive session for Monday evening. I can't give you a lot of details about that yet because it's kind of a last-minute thing, getting some of the VIPs involved in that. But, you know, if you register for the conference, we will be sending out an update about that in the next couple of weeks. As far as the conference itself goes, each day we'll have three panel sessions. Monday, we're starting off with a panel on habitat design. We're going to have people like Bob Richards. That's Bob Richards, the VP of Advanced Projects from Northrop Grumman, not to be confused with the Bob Richards from Moon Express. We've had some confusion about that as well. You may have heard recently that Northrop Grumman is getting the contract from NASA to build the habitat for the Gateway Space Station. So he will give us an update of what's going on right now. But we're mainly interested in future designs. So we've got a lot of people. We've got John Blinko from the Gateway Foundation, not to be confused with NASA's Gateway Space Station. Fred Sharman from the School of Architecture at Morgan State University. Dr. Anthony Logman from Skyframe Research. El Gorbus, who was doing space habitat design at NASA Ames for many years and is now independent. We have Susanna Bianco from Auto Arch Architecture in Houston, a very talented young space architect, and also Dr. Bruce Pittman from the NASA Space Portal. So we're going to have an excellent panel there discussing both the past and present as well as the future of habitat design. The original idea that Gerard O'Neill had was that you would have this 500-person construction shack building the first Island One space colony for 10,000 people. But, you know, the reality is going from ISS, which has six people, to a 500-person construction shack to a 10,000-person space colony, you know, those are pretty huge steps. So realistically, there's going to have to be some sort of intermediate, smaller steps in between, or perhaps some sort of expandable design which can start small and grow to a larger size. So those are the things that we're going to be looking at over the next few years, and those are the things that our architects are going to be discussing on the first panel.
Okay.
After that, we'll move into the panel on space resources. That will be chaired by Professor George Sawyer from the Colorado School of Mines. And we'll have a number of very exciting guests there. Dr. Phil Metzger, who was one of the leading experts on lunar regolith at Kennedy Space Center. He's now at the University of Central Florida. He will be on the panel. Rob Meyerson, who was president of Blue Origin for 14 years, recently retired, now has a lunar resources company called, I always get this wrong, Ella Loon, of the Moon. Chris Lewicki, who is with Planetary Resources, will be on the panel as well, and Dennis Wingo from SkyCorp. So we have a very solid panel there to talk about resources, and we'll be covering every aspect from the moon to asteroids, as well as the possibility of recycling some of these materials that are already in orbit from the large amount of space junk up there. There's enough material just floating around from these abandoned rocket stages and satellites to build a habitat which is 6 or 7 times the mass of the International Space Station. And, you know, this is in the form of already refined aerospace alloy. So, you know, I mean, if you can't figure out some way to utilize those materials and recycle them into habitat material, then you just better, you know, hang it up as far as mining the moon is concerned. So, you know, we're going to have a very broad-based discussion there. And that will then take us to the final session of the day, which is on construction techniques. That will be chaired by Jill Carroll of Heathers, Inc. John Goff from Ultra Space Machines will also be on that, as well as Robert Hoyt from Heathers Unlimited. And we're also hoping to have a couple of speakers from Made in Space and Orbit Fab that they haven't actually confirmed yet, but we're hoping to have those confirmed within the next week. So that's basically our first day. With the exception of our luncheon speaker, I should mention our primary focus, of course, is on space settlement for the entire conference. But, you know, for lunch, we're planning on bringing in one of our experts on advanced propulsion and who's working with the Space Studies Institute right now. I know a lot of people are very interested in that sort of exotic propulsion technology. You know, a couple people called in and asked about it in the last time I was on the space show, and I couldn't really answer the question. But, you know, come to Seattle, and we'll have someone there, I hope, that will be able to answer those questions for you.
So can you tell us who the speaker is going to be on advanced propulsion? Do you know yet?
We're hoping it will be Heidi.
Okay. So, listeners, for those of you who don't know who he's talking about, so Dr. Heidi Fern is an experimental physicist, and she works with Dr. Jim Woodward on the Woodward effect, otherwise the Mach effect at at Cal Fullerton in the physics lab there. And Heidi is, I guess, Jim's associate or partner in that project, and is quite a well-known and respected physicist on her own right. So that'd be a great speaker if you are able to have Heidi there. You still there, or did I lose you?
I'm here.
Okay. So is there an evening program Monday? Well, you said you're working on a special events kind of evening program that's not settled yet, right?
We are... You know, we're hoping to have an executive session which will be closed to the press, off the record, you know, something where the people in the industry can get together and talk about things that they don't really want to go out and be hearing about on the space show or in Alan Boyle's column the next day. We will have the possibility before some other people to sit in on that as well. But as I said, you know, that's something that's coming together at the last minute because, you know, we're talking to people at the VIP level, and they never know what their schedule is going to be until the last minute.
What do you have breakfast in the morning, or you that's on your own, and you get to the museum, which is, I guess, fairly far from the hotels, right?
We will not be having breakfast at the conference. If you're staying at the museum, at the hotel that we've recommended, there is a breakfast at the Hampton Inn. The museum is about a 7 or 8 minute drive from the hotel or from SeaTac Airport. Not in the same direction, but basically these three locations make a little triangle. If you time it right and get there before early morning rush hour traffic, that things shouldn't be too bad. The museum itself is on the very south end of Seattle, so you aren't actually competing with all the downtown traffic, which gets crazy.
What time does the conference start in the morning?
We'll be starting at 9 a.m.
Okay.
But, we recommend that you get there early in order to check in. We'll be opening the doors at, I believe, 8 a.m. on Monday morning so that you can register and pick up your name tag. And, you know, I hope you're all registered in advance because, we have a limited number of tickets for the luncheon. We have fewer seats in the room that we're using for the luncheon than we do for the theater where the conference is taking place. So if you wait too long to buy a ticket, you might not be able to get a lunch. If that happens, there are a couple of very nice cafes in the museum, so you won't starve to death, but you won't get near our luncheon speakers.
What do you have in store for Tuesday?
On Tuesday morning, we are starting off with a panel on transport and logistics. It's hosted by Henry Vanderbilt from the Space Access Society. So if you missed the chance to go to Space Access this year, you can come to Seattle, come to our conference, and you'll also get a little mini Space Access hosted by Henry Vanderbilt. The other participants on the panel will be John Schilling from Aerospace Corporation. If you've been to Space Access before, you're probably familiar with him. John Golf from Altered Space will be speaking again. And Dallas Beanhaw, formerly of Boeing, now with Cislunar Space Development. And the transport panel will be basically devoted to examining, what are the commercial vehicles being developed now? Are they sufficient for the sort of large-term space settlement that we want to do, or does there need to be a second or even third generation beyond what's currently planned? What sort of deep space transport do we need to get from low Earth orbit to whatever location the habitat is going to be at? The classical NEO plan called for L4 and L5. That's one of the questions that we're going to be looking into. Again, we aren't taking anything as a given. We'll be looking at every possible location from the Lagrange point to low Earth orbit and beyond.
So each panel, I take it, is about 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Is that correct?
That's correct. We've allocated 2 hours for each panel.
You have a morning panel. Then is the next panel before lunch or after lunch?
We will have one panel in the morning, then we'll have lunch, then we'll have an afternoon panel, a short snack break, and the second afternoon panel.
So who's your luncheon speaker on Tuesday?
On Tuesday, this is about, I'm going to say about 80% certain right now. I think we're going to have Dr. Lee Soo-yeon, who was the first and so far the only South Korean astronaut. She spent 11 days aboard the International Space Station doing life science experiments. And so she would be a great lead-in for our first panel in the afternoon, which is on bioneering, biology and medicine for space pioneering. That panel will be hosted by Dr. Jim Logan, the former chief flight surgeon at NASA, The other speakers will be Jill Carroll, who's been doing research on artificial gravity. He's been working with Gary Hudson on the G-Lab project. We'll have Morgan Irons from Cornell University, she's with the School of Agriculture there, and she's been doing research into ways of taking lunar regolith and turning it into some sort of useful soil for farming. And, you know, agriculture is one of the very big unsolved problems we face, you know, when it comes to life support. We've been doing oxygen recycling and water reclamation forever, but food is really the very big problem there. We'll also have Dr. John Charles, who recently retired as the head of the chief scientist for the NASA Human Research Program at NASA. We'll have Dr. Yvonne Cagle, NASA astronaut, and you know that's going to be another very exciting panel. But finally, our last session of the day, which will wrap up everything in more ways than one, deals with what I think is the really key problem in space settlement. You know, the transportation and the life support, those are very important problems to work on, obviously. But economic viability, I think, is really the most important question that we have to answer. Because the reality is, you know, if we don't have some way of paying for all of these things, it's not going to happen. And if we solve the economic viability problem, then those other things will be taken care of very quickly. I mean, the reason we haven't solved the food production problem is because, you know, there just hasn't been the money to do the research.
Who chairs the economic panel?
I will actually be chairing that myself, since it is the last panel of the day, and I want to make sure we stay on schedule so that, you know, no one misses their airplane.
So there's no Tuesday evening program then, correct?
No, there is not.
Who else is on that panel with you?
On that panel, we will have Dr. Alex McDonald, who is the senior research economist at NASA headquarters. We'll have Dr. Nat Daniels, who is an advisor with the Office of the Secretary of Defense. We'll have Eva Jane Lark, who's the vice president at BMO Nesbitt Burns. We'll have Dr. John Mankin from Artemis Innovation. John Mankin is one of the leading experts on space solar power. So, you know, he can bring us up to date on that. And I'm hoping to add one more speaker to that. So we still have a TDA right there. But as I said, you know, the economic viability question is really key as far as I'm concerned. We need to have some sort of industry to pay for this. NASA is not going to do it. You know, even if you devoted NASA's entire budget, they would not pay for a 10,000 person space station. And you know, even if they could, what would NASA do with 10,000 people in space?
But what would the private sector do with 10,000 people in space? Why do you have to think NASA with 10,000 people?
Well, that's the question that we need to address. You know, we need to find some sort of customer that can serve as an industrial base for this, either in private industry or possibly in the military. In the past, SSI has carefully stayed away from anything military. We've never been an anti-military organization, but we've been very much non-military. But, you know, at this point, we need to be open to all possibilities. And, you know, if you look at Earth, you know, you do find a lot of cities with place names like Fort Worth, Fort Wayne, Fort Lauderdale. You know, people didn't just name them these things because they thought Fort sounded nice. These were all originally military bases. You know, it's possible that there may be some military customer that will help drive the early space settlements, but most likely it is going to be private commercial. So we need to figure out what that commercial industry is going to consist of, and it's not an easy problem. As I said, you know, this is probably the hardest thing that we're dealing with in terms of the conference and this whole research program going forward.
I have a question for you from Josh, who is in Phoenix, and he says, you haven't mentioned registration yet. Is there still room to register? Are there any price breaks or any important dates coming up regarding registration?
That's an excellent question. Yes, there is a chance to register right now. And in fact, if you do it this week and you use the discount code Apollo 11, capital A, lowercase Powell 11, that will get you $50 off on the registration price. That doesn't work with the student rate, which is already discounted heavily, but if you just want to register at our regular rate, just use the discount code Apollo 11 and you can get $50 off the listed price.
Okay, and there's still room to register then, correct?
Yes, there is.
Now, are there, he also had an added question about facilities, conference hotels, transportation, things like that. So what are the logistics for getting there, staying there, getting to the conference, getting back to the hotel, all of that?
Okay, well, I'm assuming that most people flying in will be coming from into SeaTac Airport. It's a major local airport. The Museum of Flight is actually at Boeing Field, but there's almost no service into Boeing Field. So you'll fly into SeaTac Airport. We're recommending three hotels. The primary hotel that we're recommending is the Hampton Inn in Tukwila, T-U-K-W-I-L-A. That's just south of Seattle. Rooms there are currently, I think, about $157 a night. You know, look on Expedia, you might find something a little bit cheaper. But if you want a cheaper hotel, there's also a Holiday Inn Express and Suites nearby, which it's also in Tukwila. That one is slightly cheaper. I think it's about $135 a night. If you want something more luxurious, that there's the Hotel Interurban, which is about $207 a night, but it's very luxurious. As I said, you know, the Hampton Inn is the hotel that we're recommending primarily because it's a mid price point.
How do you get from the hotel to the Museum of Flight?
Uber is probably your best option. From the hotel to the Museum of Flight, I think it's about a 7-8 minute ride.
So there's no shuttle that you've arranged or anything like that?
No, there isn't.
Okay.
The Hampton Inn does have a shuttle to the airport, though, so you probably don't need to rent a car unless you really want to.
Okay. So going back in the evening, you would take an Uber back then, probably, right?
Right, and you know that's the advantage to staying at the recommended hotel because you know that there will be a bunch of us hanging out in the lobby and you know we can carpool. And
so, dinner facilities, are there restaurants around the museum or in the hotel area? Logistically, I'm assuming most people aren't going to rent a car. So how are they going to, if they get back to the hotel, and there's nothing Monday night for everybody. Some people will do the executive program. Are there walking distance facilities, things like that?
The Coquilla area is very commercial. There are a lot of restaurants nearby. There's the South Center Shopping Mall. So multiple options for dining.
Okay.
Everything from Sizzler Steakhouse and McDonald's to five-star restaurants.
Okay. And so how long does this discount code, is it good for just this week, through the weekend? How long do they have for that?
It'll be good until beginning of next week.
Okay. Okay, listeners, so that's good to know. I have another question, Sharon, and Sharon's in Portland, Oregon, and she says, in terms of networking, do you just have the one break in the afternoon? Are there other networking opportunities?
Well, I think that lunchtime is a great networking opportunity. We have 90 minutes set aside for lunch, so you know, our luncheon speakers are not going to talk for 90 minutes. You know, you'll have time to chat with people at your table. Excuse me. And then, yes, there is the snack break afterwards. And you know, in the evening, there will be the executive session on Monday evening. And otherwise, you know, you're on your own. And we invite you to, you know, meet up with other people and go off and go to a restaurant together. You know, if you've been to Space Access, you know, Henry Vanderbilt never has meals because, you know, he likes people to be able to go out and socialize on their own. And I've always found that to be a great plan, and it works very well. And,
Quite frankly, the
only reason we're doing a catered luncheon at this event is because that there isn't really anything in the immediate vicinity of the museum, and if we let people go out for lunch, half of them would never find their way back on time.
Is there? I don't know what I was going to ask you. Well, I guess it'll have to come back to me, and I can't remember what I was going to ask you. The panels, I'm assuming you have allowed in the panels ample time for questions from the audience, correct?
We have. We're targeting at least 20% of the time to be available for questions and answers. And, you know, we will intersperse that throughout the time period. It's not going to be one of these hold all your questions for the end things, because, you know, we hope to get an awful lot of interaction with the audience, since we're going to have a lot of people in the audience who have as much experience as some of our speakers. We're having this conference in Seattle for a reason. As you may know, there's a company there that's very interested in space settlement. And, you know, we expect them to have a number of employees there, as well as, you know, maybe people from Boeing. And, you know, we have, a couple of MDs, a professor of medicine who's registered, you know, and it, you know, even if you just want to ask a question rather than offering your opinion, you know, you may ask about something that, you know, we need to think about that hasn't occurred to us.
Ralph in Denver says, for those of us that are interested but can't attend, Will there be any live streaming, or will we be able to acquire or see recordings of the panels?
I hope we will have something available on our website at some point. I can't actually make that promise, because that's one of the nice to have on our list rather than needs to be done to make the conference happen. So that's a priority too for us.
And do you have an idea of how many people are registered so far?
I don't have the figures offhand.
Okay, but there's no live streaming for sure. Correct?
No, we would like to be able to do something like that. I don't think I think it's rather unlikely that it will be live. The best we can realistically hope for would be to have it on the website at some point.
Listeners, there's still time for you to continue sending in emails, but also we would love to have your phone calls. And the toll-free number, let me put it out, because, again, there is time for you to call us, 1-866-687-7223. And then the email... Okay, the email address, Dr. Space, I'm getting confused, drspace@thespaceshow.com. Exhibit hall, is there anything like an exhibit hall, kind of like maybe what they had at Space Access, for example?
No, we are not having any sort of exhibit hall, but, we are in the Museum of Flight. So if you want to see space exhibits, there'll be plenty of them around.
By the way, does your admission to the conference include admission to the Museum of Flight?
Yes, it does.
So if you want to take a break and go through the museum, you can do that.
That's an option.
Although I hear it's pretty massive, so...
It is indeed.
You wouldn't be able to... I have never seen it, so I understand you wouldn't be able to do it very quickly.
Well, I mean, it's large enough that they have the Boeing 747 prototype tucked away in one corner.
Yeah, that's pretty big. Fascinating. What are you most excited about regarding the event? Your economics panel, or does something else really have your attention?
As I said, the economics panel really wraps up everything, which is why... We scheduled it for the end of the conference. We have great speakers for all these sessions, I think. It's hard to really pick one thing because, all of these areas really feed back on one another in a synergistic way. The design of the habitat is going to be determined by the resources that are available and the construction techniques, that's also going to determine, the location of the habitat, which affects the transportation and all the radiation levels and therefore the whole life sciences thing. And then there's the economic question of how do we pay for all of this? Again, that's the elephant in the room.
Yes, it is the elephant in the room. I'm glad you'll be discussing it. What else should we know about this particular event? And I think you mentioned earlier that maybe it's a 2-year event. Did I miss something or hear something incorrectly about that? You're planning to do these events every other year. Is that correct?
I'm not sure yet what the schedule for the conferences are, but this is the kickoff for a multi-year research effort to go back and look at the high frontier vision and update it with, because, you know, so much has happened in the last 50 years, and that there hasn't been a formal review of the high frontier plan really since the NASA Sumner study back in 75. So we really need to figure out what makes sense in terms of the modern era with the technology and knowledge that we have today.
You have an email from Sarah, who is in Atlanta, and she said, I unfortunately, I don't think I will be able to be there, but in listening to your description of the program, the events, and the panel, I didn't hear anything about what you're going to do to market or take the message to the public why space settlement is important, why it should be happening, why a dime should be spent on it. It sounds to me that you're engrossed in the technical, but unless people get on board and understand why it's needed, it may not go any place. So is anything being done at the conference as to why space settlement should take place and how to promote it, especially outside of a space audience?
Oh, boy. That's a really great question, and I have a really great answer for it, which I can't tell you because it's a surprise.
How can that be a surprise? Come on.
we are going to be announcing something at the conference, and I can't tell you what it is because we're announcing it at the conference.
Is it a contest?
No, it's not a contest.
I don't know. Are you sending someone to space to live on a non-existing settlement?
No. But we do have something which is very important for that outreach program. And again, you know, we're going to be publicly announcing this.
Okay, so
on September 9th at the conference.
So you're announcing it the first day, right?
Yeah, probably the first day.
Okay, so now for people who can't go, are you going to post it on your website? Or how will people know what you're announcing? Do they have to wait for somebody to email them or something like that?
If I answered that, I would be telling you what it is.
Now you've made us all curious. What time should we log on to your website to see what it is? Okay.
Well, our website might not be the only place this is available. Let me just say that.
So, for all of you who are going, here's the deal. So, let's see. Monday the 9th, right?
That is correct.
It's the first day. Okay, so there is no space show program on Monday, listeners, and unfortunately I'm not able to go there this year for a whole bunch of different reasons. But there is a show Tuesday the 10th. So the show Tuesday the 10th is dealing with lava tubes. But if anybody wants to email me on Monday or Tuesday and tell me what the special announcement is, I will announce it on the space show during the Tuesday evening space show program. So maybe somebody will tell me because I'm curious. And I would look forward to passing it on. Or if they hand out a flyer, for example, maybe you can take a picture of the flyer with your cell phone and send it to me. So I guess maybe we'll just have to be curious until what time on Monday are you going to announce it?
Most likely it'll be part of the lunch.
Well, at least I'm on the same time zone as Seattle. So, listeners, I'll look for a slurry of emails post-lunch with the special announcement that Ed won't tell us about. So, don't forget, listeners, and I'll remind you as well, too. So for Sarah, who asked the question from Atlanta, she should stay tuned to the space show or find somebody who's going to the event to tell her what the answer is to her question, correct?
That would be a good approach, yes.
Sarah, if you have any follow-up for us after this unusual response, there's still time to receive your follow-up email, so you know the address. Listeners, we'd love to hear from you before we close down the program for tonight. Again, 1-866-687-7223. If any of you know what the surprise is and you want to leak it, the phone line is open. So I don't know if Ed has shared it with anybody yet for it to be leaked, but leaks are always possible in today's world. So that is something. But, you know, aside from the joking and the laughing, Ed, it really is a serious question because space settlement is not an official NASA function. It's not part of the official NASA plan that they're supposed to be doing, which is set out by the National Space Policy. And there have been efforts to include that in a National Space Policy that is usually rewritten every couple of years or when a new president comes to administration. I don't think we've changed it since President Obama came to office. But there should be compelling reasons for it if you're going to put it in the National Space Policy or if NASA is going to adopt a pretty overt, strong position in support of space settlement, and there ought to be a pretty effective way to communicate the value and importance of it to a non-space audience. So while we're kind of having fun with Sarah's question, it really is a very, very serious question that Sarah asked, and it goes right to the heart of how you move space settlement to the forefront of space planning and architecture and mission planning and human space flight. And all of it, even if it's done by the private sector, the private sector needs launch licenses and needs some things on the regulatory side. So people need to understand the value and the importance of it. And that should be expressed, I would hope, at your event, but obviously in more ways than just your event or on the space show. Because it is really key. It's kind of along with the economics, it's kind of the roots of the whole thing, don't you think?
It is, and, you know, it's a question that goes beyond just NASA, but, you know, the government will do what the government is going to do, and, you know, this is not a NASA-centric conference. I keep telling all the speakers that, you know, we're not there to advocate for or against any current or future NASA program. If NASA happens to be going the same way we are, and we can piggyback off their research, it's great. If not, then, you know, The things that we need to do are still the things that we need to do.
Larry, Tucson, Arizona, says, is there any international representation from any of the other space agencies like India, for example, maybe even China or ESA present at the event?
I think that the answer is going to be yes in terms of some of the audience members. And again, possibly one of our luncheon speakers.
Well, right, you have the South Korean for the luncheon speaker on the second day. What else should we know? Anything else we know? You mentioned a student rate earlier on. What is the student rate?
The student rate. Let me check right here. I want to make sure that I don't give you the wrong information. The student rate is $225 without meals. and $2.95 with the meals.
With both meals?
Yes. I know the meals are a little bit pricey by student standards, but unfortunately, we have to pass on what the museum is charging us, and we're not making any profit on the meals.
Is there a retired person's rate for the conference?
No one has asked me that yet.
Well, that means you probably don't have any retired people coming, but I just wondered if it were senior citizen rate or retired rate.
If someone is interested and they want to email me, I'll see what we can do.
How do they email you? Do you want to give out your address, or should I just put it in the summary of the show?
It is edward.wright@ssi.org.
Okay. And you're the contact, so if they have more questions or something like that for the conference, they should get a hold of you, right?
That's correct.
Anything else that we've missed that you want to describe or talk about? The panels are full. You're not taking any more speakers for the panels or creating any more panels for the conference. Is that correct?
We have a couple speakers that we're still waiting to hear back from right now. But we are pretty much set on our speaker list at the moment.
This is from Jack, and he just says he's on the East Coast. And he says, I was at Space Access. Can you tell me if your conference will be casual like that, including dress policy, or is it more of a formal attire given that it's in the museum?
No. It's business casual. No tuxedos.
It's not black tie, huh?
No.
But so it's kind of comparable to Space Access, since he was at Space Access?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And let's see. I think you've covered pretty much everything that we really need to know. I hope you do make recordings available on your website or elsewhere, because a lot of us who are unable to attend would are really interested in the subject and would very much like to see it. Maybe you could even do it as a fundraiser and make it available to people who are at least a supporter of the Space Studies Institute. Maybe that would help and expedite you to do it and make it a benefit of joining, that you get to see the videos of the conference.
That's a thought.
Uh-huh. I think people would be glad to do that. And so anyway, that is a thought. I hope you do another one of these. Would they always be in Seattle? Is that going to be sort of your home away for home for events?
We haven't thought that far enough ahead. We like Seattle. You know, there are a lot of people there that have an interest in this. The Museum of Flight is a great venue. The downside is, hotels are a little bit more expensive than they are in Mojave.
I don't think anyone would attend if you had it in Mojave. Also, the logistics to get to Mojave would not be very appetizing to most people, I think. Even if you flew into LAX to drive there, you could get stuck in one of those nightmare traffic jams from hell.
That is true.
And you could end up missing the conference. You'd still be on the road to Mojave from LAX. No, it wouldn't go over there, but, you know, there are other places that it could be as well, too, that are easy for people to get to. But Seattle is a good place, and having it in the museum, from everything I've heard, the museum is great. So, listeners, I would urge you, if you can find time, I know it's a jam-packed two-day event with really fascinating panels and speakers and topics and networking, but to have a chance to go see the Museum of Flight would be really special. Maybe you want to get there early so that you could do it on the weekend, or maybe stay an extra day if you can and do it that way. But to be there and not take part of the Museum of Light would seem to me to be a real missed opportunity, unless you can get back to Seattle at a regular time. And speaking of Apollo, they do have some Apollo exhibits right there right now, and I think they're still ongoing. I don't think they have ended yet.
Unfortunately, the Apollo 11 exhibit ends the week before the conference.
So I thought it ended at the end of September, so it ends before the conference, huh?
Unless they've extended it, yes, it does.
You should tell them to extend it for your attendees. Make that another benefit of coming to the conference.
Well, you know, originally we thought this conference was going to take place in July, right before the 50th anniversary.
Right.
And, you know, we made arrangements to get tickets so that people could tour the Apollo 11 exhibit during the afternoon break. But unfortunately, there turned out to be another conference that was originally in February. It got postponed to July, and we found out about it, fortunately early enough that we were able to change our plans. But it was not the sort of surprise we were hoping for.
Ed, we're pretty much at the end of our program. If there are new developments or information you would like to get out to Space Show listeners between now and a month from now, because you're just about a month, you are a month out from the conference. If you let me know, I will be happy to announce it on the show, or if an open line show is coming up, you can get on an open line show for a few minutes and announce it yourself. So you know how to email me, so just keep me posted, and I'll be glad to keep listeners updated with anything you think is important for them to know, or for people still planning to come but haven't jumped in and, you know, registered yet. I'll be glad to continue to make announcements and keep people informed about what you guys are doing. And if you want to announce early your special announcement, I'll really make time for you. So keep that in mind, okay?
Well, I would love to, David, but Robin would probably kill me.
Well, maybe Robin can make the announcement. We'll let her have the microphone. But no, seriously, if you do have more developments, if you have some additional speakers you think people would like to know about, or anything else you want to announce, let me know, and you can either come on real quickly on an open line show or give me the facts, and I'll make the announcement during the opening part of another space show program. And I look forward to that. Just keep me posted, and I'll keep listeners updated, okay?
Okay.
Ed, thank you very much. I wish I could have gone, and if you do it next year or in 2 years, I hope the circumstances are different. I would very much like to be there. I know most of the people, and many of them have been space show guests and friends for years. So I will miss being with a lot of people I really like and have a lot of respect for. So it's going to be a great event, and I wish you great success with it. Hi to Robin and Lee and Gary as well. And I will stay in touch and look for your updates, okay?
All right.
Listeners, that's it. Come back tomorrow. We're doing commercial space branding, commercial space analysis for investment, all sorts of related things like that with Tricia. You can read about her on our website. And Craig Hargrove from Arizona State, a professor, a PI with some CubeSat projects with NASA, is our guest on Sunday. Read about that, too, on the Space Show website. So we thank Ed Wright for doing this special Space Show program with us on a Thursday evening. For those of you who sent in emails, we thank you as well. Everybody continue to have a great and successful week. Good night from Ed, David, and the Space Show, and by all means, keep looking up.